Daddy, I don't want to go to bed. I want to listen to reggae on the radio.
Masses, people behind the zinc fence, people behind the wall, people on the gully bank, people in GP, this is reggae music, under pressure.
Of life, like water, you know.
Pull up that tune, Daddy.
Hello, this is Reggae Beats, myself Reggae Richie with Harry Hawks from Pressure Sounds. How's it going, Harry?
Not too bad at all. How's things with you?
Everything's good over here in Dublin, man.
Good.
Harry, I just want to talk to you this evening about the Pressure Sounds project.
No problem.
Can you tell me how this Pressure Sounds team came about?
Well, it started with On New Sounds, which was Adrian Sherwood's label based in London, and a few other people worked with him, like Pete Holdsworth, some other people I never met. They decided it'd be a good idea to actually start reissuing old records rather than just making new ones, because you just couldn't get the things. And I got to know them after the first couple of releases, and they asked me would I like to help out, get involved in as well, and over the past years, and I even want to think about now, I've done more and more work with them, and I work closely with Pete. Went off on his own a few years after it started. Adrian just runs On You, Pete runs Pressure Sounds now, and I've been working closely with Pete for over a decade now. So it's just all about making stuff available that isn't available. You know, I hate all that, oh, you know, no one knows it, no one's got it, no one wants, you know, everyone wants it. Well, here it is. It's the price of a CD or a price of a vinyl album. You've got great records that on the curb. collector's market, and I hate that term. You know, some of these things are £400 or £500, and that's just
crazy money.
It's just madness, you know. And you think, well, it's not about the music, but we want it to be about the music and making the music available. And of course, working with the artists and the producers, the proper people get paid as well.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff is 100% licensed officially. Deal with the artists, deal with the producers, deal with the proper people. So it's all, you know, there's a lot of funny stuff goes on that I won't talk about. But
if I can stop you there for a second, Harry, it's, you know, the Pressure Sounds LP. You're not only getting an LP with Pressure Sounds, you're getting the whole insight on the who was in the studios, who produced, what artist was there, who wasn't there. It's just the write-ups alone are priceless. And that's down to you, Harry Hawkes.
Well, I'm glad it's radio and you can't see me blushing. But then, I mean, I don't know, you're a fan of this thing as well, you know, so imagine you get to talk to people. You do it on the radio, you know, I do it for the interviews. You know, you're talking to people you've admired for years,
yeah.
You love what they do. And I don't think, I don't mean this in a big-headed way, that there hasn't been a bad interview. You know, that most people, once you get them going, no doubt the same as you find, they'll just want to talk.
Catch a fire, fling it on the sticker, we catch a fire, fling it on the sticker, we catch a fire. The flames get higher and higher. The flames get higher and higher. And if the night should die, I know you will see your way to your home sweet home.
If I can talk about Burning Spear album that came out on Pressure Sounds called Spear Burning.
Right.
An absolutely outstanding album from Burning Spear, produced by Burning Spear himself, wasn't it?
That's right. It was all the singles he did for his own label.
Yeah.
In between the stuff for Wolf and before, I suppose, he really went, you know, became a huge international artist. So most of that stuff was just only available on Jamaican 7-inch records.
Yeah.
And odd American 7-inch, 12-inch. So we always thought it'd be a great project to be able to put it together. for it. And Dave Henley, who'd taken pictures of Spear at the time up on the North Coast, said, yeah, you can use my photos. He was part of doing the artwork as well. It was one of the greatest interviews I ever did with Vernon Spear, to put the notes together. And I don't mean that in a big-headed way. I mean, it was for me, do you know what I mean? It was just such a thrill. I think I had to pinch myself. I'm talking to Vernon Spear.
Did you meet him in person? Or?
No, it was unfortunately it had to be done over the phone. But that was just great, you know. All the things, there were certain things he didn't remember, but then of course he's done more.
He's done so
things,
much.
Yeah, than file his records in chronological order on the shelf.
He's been there since the very start.
From
Studio One days.
That's right, and he was great because he. Sometimes you get people, you must know this, and all they want to do is moan about who did this and who did that.
And who robbed them of this.
He was really positive about all the things, even working with Cox and the good that came out of that.
Yeah. Jomo version.
Yeah.
That is unreal, that track.
Yeah. I remember buying that on a single when that was when Spear first started putting out his own records. I think that was about the second or the third record on the label. And you just knew, you go in the shop and you see something on Spear label, you had to have it.
Yeah.
Didn't even ask him to play it. Yeah, I'll just take that.
Yeah, yeah.
And just taking it home and thinking, A-side's nice, and then turn it over and hear them sirens on the B-side. I think, no, this is just wild.
The sirens, I bought that album when he was first reissued it on Pressure Sounds, and every time I take that album out, that's the one track I'll play. I'll play Spearburning and I'll flip it. I don't flip it. I go for the version on the on the album, and Jomo version.
Yeah.
I dug it out recently, played the radio there last week, and the phone was lit like a Christmas tree. What's that? It was just the pure sirens and the horns in the background and the squad cars.
Yeah.
Spear produced that himself.
Yes.
Unreal.
Production. Yeah, coming his own label. Just brilliant record.
Winston Rodney, yeah?
Absolutely brilliant.
Like the liquid of life, like water, you know?
catch a fire.
The next album I'd like to talk about now is More Pressure, Volume 1.
Yeah.
That is brilliant, that album.
It's the
Michael Rose track. I just want to talk about that one, We Shall Overcome.
Now, funny enough, what we did with that, I mean, I sometimes worry that it gets to be too much of what I want to do or what Pete wants to do. So we actually got a number of different people to say, you know, can you recommend anything you'd really think should be on this album? You know, we had a core of tracks we wanted to do. And one of the chaps we worked with very closely, I think it was Dave Dubwise, who runs his label, come through with that one. I said, you know this? I said, I remember it vaguely coming out. He said, listen to it again. So, yeah, of course, when he said, we said, yep, that's great. And once again, really, really good track. You know, plenty of... I mean, the rock style guitar. I couldn't remember why I hadn't kept it. And then when I heard the rock style guitar, I thought, that's why, because that would have really put me off back at the time.
That was produced in America, wasn't it?
Apparently so, yeah. But... you know, didn't know much about it at all, but
yeah,
great track, and it's proved very popular.
From 1976, another man that's been the backbone of reggae music for so long as well. That's one of his really early tracks. That's prior to Black Uhuru, that track.
Yes.
We Shall Overcome.
Yeah, it's one of his early solo things.
Yeah.
So we're really glad we could get that on, so it's great.
Vocal and Version from Bongo Gene Campbell from 1977.
Yeah, once again, that was one of the ones I said we've got to have this track on.
Skyjack.
People don't really know this Skyjack record.
I actually issued that in 7-inch as well.
Yes, yeah.
And I had the LP, and I seen it come out in 7-inch. I said, right, I have to get that just for the B-side alone.
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't heard that track, I'd advise them... hunt that one down.
Yeah.
Bongo Gene Campbell from 1977, Skyjack and Skyjack Version.
Majesty, you are to the most wise God of creation. Jah,
Rastafari. For when I and I feel your spirit moving in our heart, I and I praise, I and I play your music. I and I and the ocean sailing, praising master of mighty oceans, who steal many men in their commotion. For the ice sprays that is on earth is judged by sovereign rights. Now I praise the dreadlocks for me God of creation. Jah. Yeah, one on squadron for more thousand prayers, praising Jah, praising Jah, for our God is God. Jah, high, high, that's so high, Rastafari. Yes, let everything that art great glorify, magnify, and praise thy holy name. Jah, Rastafari. Yeah, Naya Bongo son, rap Naya Bongo, play the Naya Kente. Step the Naya Bingi. Naya Congo, heal up Rasta, one love, one heart, one destiny, Jah. City block, I sky jump.
Yeah, it's the B-side that started, they played that to me in the shop. I said, listen to it, I've got to just have it, that's mine. Because you know, by that time that had come out, the kind of the dub thing and the instrumental thing had slowed up a bit. But that just harked back to, you know, 2 years ago, and it just sounded so, so good. It was, yeah, I thought, yeah, it's just haunting. It's great. Great. So that was one, that was one of my picks for that album. Unfortunately, with that, everyone always asks us when we're going to do volume two.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hard to try and top the selection we got on that.
So when are you going to do volume two? But, yeah, I've played that track myself a few times on radio and also in clubs, and the people who love reggae music for what it is will come up to you and say, what's that?
Yeah.
And they're just like, what is it? You know what I mean? You tell them, who's that? What? But it's just one of them outstanding tracks off that. The whole album is brilliant. Cool. More Pressure Volume 1. But them two tracks there are outstanding tracks. Actually, as I said, Bongo Gene Campbell, Skyjack. Yeah, Skyjack version.
A real labour of love, that one.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
like the liquid of life, like water, you know.
Lovely rhythm. That's that was Delano Stewart, Don't Believe in Him, originally.
Yeah.
And Gregory sung it over for Bunny Lee, and Pete Weston got the rhythm and used it there, but the bass line on it is just lovely. But
yeah,
the way he puts it together, well, the way that whole album is put together is stunning. But that, as you said, that track is a real standout.
Yeah.
It's a beauty.
The whole album is brilliant. Prince Farai, Sam's Farai. As I said, that track there, The Lord's Prayer. Anyone want to check a Prince Farai track? That we want to look for, The Lord's Prayer from Prince Farai on Pressure Sounds.
Sounds for you. Yeah, great.
Next up, the late great, and also we should say Prince Farai, that he's sadly no longer with us today. What exactly happened to him, Harry, you know?
He
was shot in his house with his
shot
wife.
Inside his house. The talk was he was shot because there'd been political slogans painted on the outside of his wall, and because he painted them out, he was shot.
Jeez.
You know, now I don't know how true or untrue that is, but that was the story that circulated at the time. And really, when you get a story like that, you don't even want to delve any deeper into it, because you just think, so many people talk about outlaws and, you know, living like rebels, and
yeah,
those people in Jamaica live it.
They do. And yet again, another senseless killing in Jamaica, especially when the effects, the music and the art, especially back then, and even still to this day, it still happens to this day, unfortunately.
Life is just so cheap, and it's you know, I mean, if you come out with cliches, I suppose they're true, and it's just so senseless and so sad.
Yeah, Prince Farai, Daddy Craig, right.
I and I will give thee praise in any great congregation thou art dwell. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, God great, kings above all gods. In his hands there is the place of the earth, the strength of the hill, the sea, he made it. He
formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us bow down and worship him. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And as the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted I, prove I and I, and saw I and I were 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said it is a people that do hear in their heart, and they have not known I and I way. I and I way they don't know, and to whom I swear in I and I wrath, that they should not hear unto I and I. O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord with songs. For the Lord is great, 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 great kings above all God.
Next up, Harry, is a man I've been loving since my teens. A man called Horace Swabby, Gustus Pablo. You brought a brilliant album out there a couple of years back, In Fine Style and Pressure Sounds. What can I say? up Warwicker Hill?
Yeah.
Haunting?
Yeah.
Haunting sound?
Yeah. I don't know. Pablo's just been one of my obsessions ever since I first heard him, and I've never stopped thinking he's absolutely brilliant. And remember when he first came up here, and he came, you know, we met him, and that's Augustus Pablo. That's Augustus Pablo, my life. And I was almost lost for words. I really didn't know what to say. And he made a number of journeys backwards and forwards.
He was his regular visitor to the UK, wasn't
he? And we got to know him really well. Yeah. And he was, you know, once that the thing broke, you know, the initial broke down, it was great. He's really, really nice, very funny, but totally dedicated to what he did.
Yeah. Everything. For our listeners out there that don't know Augustus Pablo, Augustus Pablo brought an instrument called a melodica, a simple instrument called a melodica, to reggae music, and basically just turned it upside down.
Yeah.
With his instrument that people had taken for granted. And he made X and X amount of recordings, and each one as good as the last.
Yeah.
But that there's a couple of tracks in that album that I'd like to make mention is Up Warwicker Hill, and the version, it's unreal. Mountain View.
Yeah. Well, Warwicker Hill was a place just outside Kingston. There was a Rasta encampment there in the 50s.
Thank you.
was moved on. It got to be a bad man kind of hideout place. I remember being driving past it, and I said, "Oh, where's that Warwick Hill?" And Fred Rise with Ozzy has gone, "Don't go up there. They shoot guns up there." All right, we won't go up Warwick Hill then. We'll just think of the record.
Yeah, yeah.
But I should I should imagine Pablo was thinking about the Rasta encampment rather than the bad man hiding out in Warwick Hill.
He's also, he's brought out, Precious Sounds also brought out another a total album just dedicated to Augustus Pablo. I don't know, releasing vinyl, but I managed to pick it up on CD. For the simple reason, it's a track called Cassava Peace. Another gem of a track from Augustus Pablo, Cassava Peace.
Yeah, that was this will sound so big-headed, I don't know, that was one of my pet projects, that first album, the El Rockers.
Yeah.
What I tried to do was put together an album of the full instrumentals or different cuts to the King Tubby Meets Rockers Uptown LP. So, you know, where you'd have the dub on the Rockers Uptown, I had the full instrumental, or where you had a dub, I'd have an alternative dub or whatever. So it was like a shadow version of King Tubby Meets Rockers Uptown. And of course, Cassava Peace had to go on it because it's just one of the greatest rhythms ever built, number one and number two, because it eventually became the version side to King Tubby Meets Rockers Uptown. You know, they use that. Dun, dun, dun. And of course, the opening track on African Dub Chapter 3.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of them rhythms that will live forever.
I originally heard Cassava Peace. I was over in London, I was 17 years of age, I was staying in a mate's house in a place called Morden in London, I think it's in East London, or I don't know what part of London it's in.
Morden's out past it's west, out past Croydon way, that kind of way.
But we're sitting in this evening, I was over there on a week's holidays, and I was listening for radio stations, and who did I come across? Only Michael Campbell, Mikey Dread. He was doing a radio show, so every night, phone, it was from 12 to 2, Richie sat up and recorded these programs, which I still have today, and I have to get them on the CD because I know, Lord rest him, Michael Campbell is dead now, passed away, but again, great, great, but he played Cassava Peace for me the first time, and I heard that track and recorded it in medium wave, and then Pressure Sounds brought it out then. Years and years later, I said, yes, I have a copy, I have Cassava Peace plus the version. Channel 1 dubs from 1974 to 1980. Whoa.
Yes. Once again, that was one of my projects. I mean, I just love those Channel 1 records. You know, certain oldies sound old. As far as I'm concerned, they just sound like they were made 2 minutes ago. They
exactly.
They still sound totally exciting and just brilliant. And what was always great about the Channel 1 records was the B-sides. You know, they'd come down into the shops and you'd say, "Oh, don't worry about the vocal, just play me the version side."
Yeah, yeah.
And once again, it was a project of mine to put together a whole LP's worth of versions from the Channel 1 records, which I did, and they're great.
The biggest dub track on that. Now, sound systems all over the UK and around the world used to play this track solid. Kunta Kinte version.
Right.
Shaka plays that.
Yeah.
And, like, these tracks, as we said previously, were hard to get tunes. You had to pay an arm and a leg plus an eyeball to get these tracks. But Precious Sounds, and they've reissued them, and lovely sleep notes and a whole lot involved there. Kunta Kinte version. Play that in a sound system, or play it in your 3-in-1 stereo. You guarantee the neighbour will be coming in from next door saying to Laura, it's just one of them tracks, have you played up loud?
Yeah, once again, that was a bit of a coup, being able to get that and being able to put it on the album. You know, we talked to Jojo about it, and Jojo said, cool, go ahead, that's fine. So it had never been released before. It was only ever done played. The vocal had been out before too, but the actual kind of chemistry with the theme going through it hadn't been on plastic.
But it's actually the Fade Away from Junior Boyles.
Right.
With the engineers in the background, whichever way they mixed that track up and pulled it out and mixed it up and turned it, and it said it's outstanding now.
Well, apparently, now I don't know if this is true or not, they reckon them, and I'm not a man who can say, oh, that's a Tubby's mix for definite, or that's a Philip Starr mix, but that is apparently a Tubby's mix of a Channel 1 track, which didn't happen often. I mean, most people agree that's the case. I'm never going to say yes and no 100% because I wasn't there, so I don't know, but it really sounds like it was mixed at Tubby's. It hasn't got that Channel 1 feel to it, but it's just such a great rhythm and such a great song anyway, so to get Tubby's on it on top of it, everything else was great.
Tell us this, Harry, how are the Hookham brothers these days?
Fine, as far as I know.
There's Paulie, Jojo, and there's one that passed away.
Paulie's
gone.
Passed away.
Yeah.
It's Kenneth and Jojo. Now, I spoke to Jojo a while ago. He's apparently opening a new studio uptown in Kingston.
Go away.
No, for real.
That'd be an interesting
that
project,
would be
wouldn't
very,
it?
You know, especially because everyone says you don't need studios anymore. Yeah. And you can do it all on your computer. But the word is he's working on building a new studio.
Interesting.
Uptown and near King's House, so really uptown.
I've seen photographs recently that the old building is still there. of the old Channel One recording studio was still there. And you'd wonder what's going to happen to that. And should it, I personally think that all these old recording studios in Jamaica, they should be preserved. There should be a preservation order put on these buildings. I know there is one on Brentford Road, Studio
yeah.
One.
Yeah.
But the it's just the stuff that came out of them studios. To us, the average listener who loves reggae, we really appreciate where this music came from and how it was produced with the simplest of recording decks and just innovativity.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah. It never ceases to amaze me how all these things that they were doing in Jamaica in the 70s, even back in the 60s,
yeah.
You know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, someone come like it's a new idea.
Yeah.
It's been done before.
Yeah.
They did that in Kingston, as you said, on... not on expensive equipment, not inexpensive studios, but just, it was just pure innovation the whole way.
Music of only vanity and no love for humanity. That the poor man got, it shall be taken away.
Harry, you know yourself, this music, if it wasn't for this music, me and you would never have met that evening or that afternoon in Dovendor.
Yeah.
Many, 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 and we lost contact, but we're still mates, and that's the way the master
went. Things don't change, it's great. I've got to know so many people and you know, so many good friends through this music. It's just,
Same as myself.
Yeah,
all the friends I have now are the friends I met through reggae. The people I grew up with are all gone off different ways, but reggae, it kind of holds me and my friends together, and that's, we meet up once a week or once a month, and the conversation will be, did you hear that track has been released, blah blah blah, and someone else will come, no it wasn't, no blah blah, and so on and so on. That's what we're having this conversation this evening about. Next up, Harry Hawks, The Crowning of Prince Jammy, Wayne Smith, Time is a Moment in Space, plus The Version. Killer.
It is the morning goodbye.
project. Dave Henley, the photographer, writer.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, he's been a mate of mine since time. He's been involved in the music as long as I have and got very, very deep into it in the 70s. He actually ran his own label, Sufferers Heights.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
A lot of good records come out on that, but he said, we've got to do something with jammies. And I can't. And this is the kind of time in between he left Tubby's and before he became King Jammy with the digital records. He made a lot of great records.
Before the crowning.
Yep, there we are.
Yeah.
So he came, yeah. He said, and when he played with us, he said, that's a Barbara Streisand record. Life is a moment in space. He said, are you sure? I said, yes.
Yeah.
So we found that. He said, makes it even better. That's great. And
it's, if I could stop you there, Harry, it's better than Barbara Streisand's strike.
I wouldn't argue with that. But it's just such a bizarre... I mean, once again, you think these things always sort of a surprise. Such a bizarre song to choose.
Yeah.
But great, it really worked well. And we put it out again on a single recently.
Did you? Yeah.
From the album, and it sold really, really well.
It's a gem.
Yeah, very,
it's,
very.
It's stood. It's got long shelf life, as they say, in the music business, and it is. I reckon in another 20 years time now it'll still be a blower.
Well, that's great. It's hopeful.
And it's only recently, believe it or not, I came across the Barbra Streisand track on a friend's house on a CD, and out of curiosity I put it on and went, nah. I just pulled it back. It's just like in reggae, the artists have covered various tracks, but when reggae artists get to do a cover track, for some reason it sounds better than the original. I'm sure you've noticed that yourself.
Yeah, oh God, there's so many soul tracks that become reggae tracks.
Yeah.
Now I hear them, I think, no, I want to hear the bass line in this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to hear someone else singing it. Yeah, I like the song. But yeah, let's get back to Walton Ellis or whoever's done it over.
Yeah, they're much better.
Yeah,
maybe because they put their heart and soul into it, and the musicians are, they're all in there as well, just wanting to get this thing out there and just put their own. You'd swear that some of these reggae versions were the original cuts.
Oh, well, of course, an awful lot of the time we always thought they were because they're the ones we heard first. Cause, you know, a lot of the time they weren't picking well-known songs, really obscure things came out. So, you need and to know
it's like
reggae ones. Sorry.
The producers and the artists took a track, stripped it down to the bone, and rebuilt the whole track and went, here you go.
Now.
And the masses go, wow.
Yeah.
Just curious, did Barbra Streisand never hear that version of that track?
I'd be very surprised, though, funnily enough,
I can see
in the early 70s, she did actually sing over Guava Jelly, the Bob Marley song.
Did she, yeah?
Yes, she did a version of that, but I don't think that qualifies as an expert on what jam is.
I won't go looking for that one. It's also another brilliant track on that album. Well, the whole album, double album, is brilliant. The Crowning of Prince Jabby, Earl Zero, a track called Police Officer, or is it Police Officer?
Officer.
Yeah, it is titled somewhere else. I've seen it as Police Officer.
Yeah, it comes as both, but I'm fairly certain on the album Dave called it Police Officer.
Yeah, he did.
Strangely enough, that was one he did for the Sufferers Heights label with Jammies and Earl Zero. He had, and Pablo as well. He had Pablo in the studio as well and sung it over.
Yeah.
Late 70s. I mean, Earl Zero's first cut was in 1975.
Right.